Applications for medical marijuana grower, processors, and dispensaries in Pennsylvania are being accepted until March 20th. Now, to date, some 900 applicants are vying for up to 12 permits issued for grower processors across the state's six medical marijuana regions. Entering the fray in our area, businesswoman Lindy Snyder. Lindy, welcome to NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you.
This isn't only a business concern. It's personal as well. Your parents passed recently of cancer. First, your mom, Myrna.
That's right.
And did she avail herself of medical marijuana toward the end?
She did, in the end. And then, of course, my father as well.
Your father is Ed Snyder, the former chairman of Comcast Spectacorp, owner of the Flyers. He, too, passed of cancer. Did he also turn to medical marijuana?
He did. And at the time, toward the end of his life, he was in California, where medical marijuana is legal. And it was suggested even by the hospice nurses that he should try it because it is used more widely in California for exactly this purpose, for hospice, for end-of-life care, well, for pain management as well as other conditions.
Though Pennsylvania's program, as I understand it, offers the widest range of qualifying recipients of any state.
That's right. We have more qualifying conditions out of the gate than other states have had, which is very valuable to citizens in the state, and it'll be valuable to the program itself.
What's the application process?
Oh, my gosh. It is a long, grinding process and full of a lot of detail, a lot of state-mandated rules and regulations. And the expectation is that they'll start awarding licenses in July or so.
What are the criteria by which 900 will be winnowed down to 12?
There's criteria that need to be met, which includes how you're going to do things. It includes having community involvement. It includes security.
You're eyeing a site, 125,000 square feet, I understand, in Northeast Philadelphia. How did you choose that area?
First, of course, we had to go to the community and understand that whether or not they would support this. We found that the community there was very welcoming and they were very open. And I think that's the most important thing you have to consider first is the partnership that you're going to have in any given community. You're always going to have people that have concerns that are still looking at it as a drug or a gateway drug. But I think as time has marched forward and the press is really doing a great job of covering this, you're starting to see people have a change of heart and a change of mind about how they view this. And so, for example, going into the community, talking about these issues affects great change in people's attitudes, whereby even people who were naysayers a month ago may have had a change of heart. All of a sudden, they're hearing their neighbors talk about how their loved one was suffering through pain and used medical cannabis and how it helped. And it changes the dialogue completely.
It's a different kind of business, though, because still at the federal level, cannabis remains a prohibited substance. And with that, there are all sorts of banking problems. How do you hope to circumvent that and not merely have this as a cash business?
Well, there are some predicates for that. You're seeing states around the country where banking is happening, usually with smaller, more local banks, but the banks are starting to really become comfortable about accepting bank accounts around this industry as the industry continues to evolve. And because you have a very vigorous economy of these tech solutions emerging to help the banks do this, they're getting more comfortable.
So at this juncture, your application is submitted. It's pending. You're going to hear back in coming months. Then what is the interim before it's theoretically possible to ramp up and actually be in business, as it were?
Well, that is going to be a period of extreme nail biting. We're all going to be waiting. But I think in anticipation of a positive outcome, you plan for that. You have to be ready for that. For any one of the 12 that is awarded a license, they have to get moving pretty much immediately to be up and running in time, you know, with sort of state-mandated timelines around this.
I imagine there is some sentiment, at least in the public, that this is a get-rich-quick endeavor.
Not by any stretch. And the history and the truth about this business is it's capital-intensive. It takes a great amount of time. It's a lot of high risk. People put together a grow operation, you can have a harvest that fails for many numbers of reasons. I realize that many people looking at this industry, whether it's in Pennsylvania or elsewhere, see this as a cash cow. There's the same business principles and practices that have to be applied to this industry as any other.
Think Snyder. You think business, of course. It's in your DNA. Ultimately, what led you to explore and get involved with the medical marijuana business in Pennsylvania?
Well, it actually started with my company, Lindy Skin. And because we make skincare products for cancer patients, I thought to myself, I wonder what cannabis-infused skincare products, how they may benefit cancer patients.
Products. What have you learned?
Well, I learned that there's not enough data to support it in a way that I would like to present it to my patients. But for cancer patients and my audience, we need true evidence-based medicine. And that was what brought me into the business, is looking for evidence of that, and then wanting to be supportive of research, et cetera, to continue looking at cannabis for topicals for very specific conditions. So that was a jumping off point of getting involved in the cannabis space. And I became very enamored with what I was seeing from a business standpoint, the innovation that was taking place, the wonderful people that are involved in this. And it was a very eye-opening experience. And I was very just drawn to this industry.
Was it a hard sell to get family members and other business colleagues and affiliates on board?
Yes and no. There were some family members or friends that thought it might be risky. And then, you know, it's interesting. I'd like to say I could tell you when that tipping point was, whether it's for this country, whether it's for doctors, whether, you know, for these different groups. I think it's a slow build, and that as more states became legal, you know, you're just talking about more people being involved, more people understanding it. The other thing you started to see was an older generation getting in from a business standpoint. It was no longer just sort of these young millennials jumping in and just starting something new or starting some little grow out in the middle of nowhere. So one of the delightful things about this industry is you see these incredible partnerships between these really young entrepreneurial millennials with people that are older, more experienced, that bring their experience to the table.
If you're fortunate enough to be awarded a license and the timetable is somewhat accurate, I'm looking forward to having you back in a year or so to see how it's playing out at that point.
Thank you. I'd love to come back.
Lindy Snyder, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you.